So like that's like all of us, right? We've lost our car, and so I've done that like I don't know how many times. I just did it again. I like to know where my car is, especially at the grocery store, because I fashion myself as Kitsap County's premier grocery cart rider. And so, does anybody still do that? Is it just me? Do not leave me alone. Yeah, you guys all
no,
do it. Great.
He's literally done it every time. He's gone to Walmart.
That's
every
exactly
time.
Right. And yesterday at the grocery store, Jen and I were shopping, and I had my car at the end of the parking lot, so I had a great runway in the grocery cart. So somebody from Gateway said, "Your husband rides a grocery cart?" Jen says, "I can't stop him." You know, I don't know. So it's just whatever. But I've lost my car. So it was Jen's birthday. This month is her birthday, and so I took her shopping. That's
nicely
cool.
Done.
And so to the mall, even to Tacoma Mall, and I came out. I had some stuff I was going to deliver to the car so we could go eat lunch, and I lost the car, and so I couldn't find it.
Well, in Tacoma, I would worry did I just lose my car?
Yeah, that would
is
be
my
a
car
problem.
like
somebody
not
took
there
it,
anymore.
Somebody drove it away. So, and if you go out the wrong door. You know, at the mall, then you're like basically on the other end. So anyway, I'm looking for my car. So I have that key fob thingy that beeps the horn, right? Most of us have that or something like that. So I'm beeping. I'm going around the parking lot. I'm just trying to like focus in on where I hear just a random beep. And I'm sure the people walking by my car, they're seeing beep, 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 beep. And finally, I heard it. And I was able to find my car, put the stuff away. And, you know, it's honestly, truly, in that moment, I just really stopped and thought, you know what, this is sometimes how we are in life. So we're going around, and we're just hitting a button, right, just trying to find meaning in life, trying to find out what this thing is about. And, look, if I can just hit the button enough, I can find it, and I can discover it. I can know what real community is about. I can know what real hope is all about. I just got to keep hitting the button. I got to keep searching. And this is what we've been talking about the last number of weeks in a series called Experience Community, Find Hope, because we believe that really true, authentic community can only be found first in Jesus by coming to know Him and who He is, and then with one another. So He calls us into relationship with Himself first, and then He calls us into relationship with one another. What we do know is that people are searching all over the place for community, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like kids, too.
Oh, yeah. Kids are in a lot of different clubs at school and outside and sports and all these, you know, to try to find that community of kind of like-minded other kids that are around them. Yeah.
Exactly. By the way, I meant, in case you don't know who this is, Shelley Sundberg, children's pastor, extraordinaire. She's amazing, and I tell her that privately, too. So, you know, awesome to have you team teaching today. Anyway, so people are looking to experience community and then find hope, because it's just like in today's world, we're searching for hope because everywhere that you look, it just seems like to evade us, right? And so maybe we're pushing the button, pushing the button. Here's what we know. We can, and you may feel absolutely hopeless because of maybe you wrapped up your hope in politics. Well, I'll tell you, that ain't going to work.
No.
Never going to work. Or in a man or a person or in a church. Or you've wrapped up your hope on a person in a church. And a leader's failed. And people have failed you. You just are not going to find hope in a person or in a building or in the church. You're just going to help find hope outside of who Jesus is. But here's what I want to tell you today. Here's what I want to talk about. You can live in hope, and you can find hope, and you can rest in hope. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about where is it that we find hope. And a lot of voices out there, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But where is it that we can find hope and experience community? Find hope. Well, you got your Bible, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to start there. So your Bible might look like this. It might look like a tablet. It might look like a phone, whatever. Just bring it up there in Hebrews chapter 6. Wait for just a second for you to find it. We're going to go there. Now, no one really knows who the author of Hebrews is. God's word to us. And some think, and I think probably it was Paul, but they don't really know. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these words are written. And we're going to discover something about this passage in just a moment. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given us both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the, everybody say it, hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. And these verses, there's some beautiful imagery here going on, isn't there?
I love it that at the beginning it's talking about God's promise to us, and it's a promise and an oath that he makes to us. And this promise and then this oath is all about our hope and where our hope lies and the security of that. And I love the imagery that this is using, because there's an imagery here of a ship and a harbor and an anchor. So if you've probably seen an anchor before, but an anchor is used to keep the ship from crashing into the rocks or going out to sea or crashing into the shore. And what this verse is talking about, especially at the end, it's talking about how a ship needs to be anchored somewhere in order for it not to be swept out to sea. And so there's kind of some cool words that are going along with this. So like in Greek, there's a part in here that says, Jesus who went before us. And in the Greek, that's prodromos. And what prodromos actually means is it means the word forerunner, which has connotations with ships and anchors. And here's what it means. So if you have a large ship and you're trying to get it into the harbor, it can be very difficult to navigate in there. So what they would do, especially at this time that this was written, was they would send out a forerunner, a prodromos. And that was a small boat with a sailor in it. And they would put the anchor in that ship, in that little boat, and then they would row it into the harbor, and then they would drop that anchor. And a lot of times they would actually row it onto the shore, and they would make sure that it was fastened actually onto the shore. And then the forerunner would wait on the shore. And on the ship, they would start winching the boat in, and they would start pulling on the rope. And slowly but surely, the ship would begin to make its way into the safe harbor. And so this imagery is not just about ships, but actually our own soul and what we're anchored into. And so with this imagery, let's read Hebrews 6:20. And it says, Jesus has already gone in there for us. He became our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So he has already entered. Remember, he died on the cross. He rose from the grave. And where is he now? He's in heaven. And that is where our hope as Christians is anchored. He has already gone before us. He's our forerunner. He's our prodromos. And so our hope is securely fastened into the harbor of heaven. And there's nothing that can separate us from God. And so what I really enjoy about this is it has a lot of connotations to the Old Testament and being the high priest. But he's not just a representative like the high priest was to the Israelites. He's the solution. He is the final solution. And because of that, our anchor is securely fastened to heaven. And he's waiting there, just like the forerunner did on the shore. He's waiting there for us. And we're slowly, 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 each and every day, we're working our way closer and closer. But I love the security that is in all of this.
Yeah, it's a sure anchor. And so if you've ever looked out into Liberty Bay here, or anywhere, have you ever seen a boat that has broken loose from its anchor, or the anchor's come loose? And exactly. And so they shipwreck and they do all this kind of things. The Bible really talks about Jesus, but he is our sure anchor. He is the one that we can hold on to, who will lead us and guide us each and every day of our life. Now, I downloaded a new app yesterday, in fact. And so it's called Robo Killer. It's not a game app. So here's the deal. Okay, here's what it is. Robo Killer.
I literally had never heard of that before.
I'm going to show it to you.
Do I need this?
Yes, you do. So here's the deal. How many get random mobile phone calls, like from, it's like your credit card company, your bank, right?
Or when your own number is calling you?
No, that's happening now. No, that's happening now. Your own number is calling you. It's a whole spam thing, And it's like, if you just give us the last four digits of your Social Security number, we can get this all fixed up, you know. And Social Security and IRS and all this kind of stuff, they're calling you because if you don't pay $3,000 right now, we are coming. In fact, there are police coming to arrest you right now. And we're getting all that stuff, right? And so, well, this app I got, RoboKiller, which I think is pretty cool, is supposed to, like, eliminate that stuff. We'll see what happens. I'll report to you later, okay? But how many have received the email that you won $30 million? We got to transfer this money, right? You get the weird stuff, the emails, the texts, the Facebook messages. And so much so that every time the phone rings, if it doesn't have your name attached to it, I'm like hitting it and blocking it. You know, because like we just don't know who to trust anymore with all this stuff going on, these messages and phone calls and all this kind of stuff. Who do we trust? What do we trust? Especially if we're sitting in that place right now and like we're in a place that feels hopeless because we don't know where the future is going. Our kids are, you know, maybe all messed up and we have no hope there for some reason. Or a relationship, whatever. You know, who do we trust to lead us and guide us? This is what we're talking about today. We're going to look at something really, really important in just a moment. But years and years ago, and this has happened, you know, more times than it ever should have, but there was this cult called Heaven's Gates. So anybody recognize that name, Heaven's Gates? Anyway, for those of you who haven't, it was this cult where a lot of people began to buy into what this leader was saying. And they began to listen and trust in what he was saying and doing and led them to a mass suicide. It was horrible. It was devastating. It makes a difference who you're listening to. And there are a lot of voices out there that say, go this way, go this way. This is where you find hope. This is where you find joy. This is where you find peace. A lot of things going on out there. It makes a difference who you're listening to. I read this story.
It's a story. I just died.
Well, not literally, but anyway, so thank you. Kind of metaphorically, it just died, you know. Anyway.
Got it.
So you were walking off when I said I died.
I was getting a microphone for you. I didn't want to preach this by myself.
Perhaps I needed help. Okay. Maybe not. I was on my own. All right. Anyway, so I read this story about this angel who delivered this message, which read this. It's a story now, okay? It's a story. God says the world will end tomorrow. So that was sorry. Delivered it to five different major newspapers. So, right, voices coming from all different kinds of things. So the New York Times, this is their headline. The world will end tomorrow, reliable source says. Analysis on page 11. Okay, anyway. Did you get that? Page 11. Okay, next. The Wall Street Journal. World ends tomorrow. Market plunges. All right, next one. USA Today. We're gone. Saint, right. LA Times. World ends tomorrow. The president says, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Yeah, hope in the okay. Last one. Washington Post. World ends tomorrow. Congress approves term limits in school prayer. Okay, so there you go. Lots of things. Time to pray, right? World's ending. So a lot of things going on and a lot of voices out there. What do we anchor to? See? Where do we find our hope? Well, you have your Bibles to go to 2 Peter. So 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And then we're going to back up in chapter 1 for just a moment here. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, but there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. Meaning, like, there's going to be voices out there, and they're not going to be telling you the truth. They're going to do it for their own selves and for all kinds of other reasons. But they're among you. Peter was alarmed that false teachers were beginning to infiltrate churches. And he called on Christians or followers to grow strong in faith so they can be detected and resisted. Will you be able to detect a false teacher or someone that's trying to lead you astray? That voice that comes, you know, it's not on your phone, maybe yes, maybe no, but it's leading you astray. Will you be able to detect it? In fact, 2 Peter, if you just back up into chapter 1, and just to close of chapter 1, Peter says this, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. And then Peter goes on and says, listen, be very, very careful who you're listening to. Be very, very careful what voice has your ear. Because there is a God, and there's his word. And there are prophets who spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Peter is exhorting the listeners, you and me, to pay attention to God's word. In fact, if you just go up to verse number 19, the beginning, he says, because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. And he says this, you must pay close attention to what they wrote. Pay attention. In today's experience-oriented society, many people, including Christians, seek to determine or assess truth by the particular way God has worked in their own lives. In other words, God's worked in my own lives, therefore, I proclaim and assess truth through my own personal experience. And I think God uses our personal experience, but that's how you determine his leading and guiding. You're going to miss it, because here's what I've discovered. I have good days and I have bad days. So if I just, my feelings can go up and down, yours too. So if I'm determining truth to what I believe to be true, and maybe what my human response is, it's going to lead me astray. I will lead myself astray. Right. And so Peter's saying, be very, very careful for that.
So we're talking about finding hope, and the psalmist finds his hope in God's word. So Psalm 119:114 says, you are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. Now, Psalm 119, that's the longest chapter in the Bible, and Psalms is the longest book of the Bible, and Psalms is all about worship and prayer to God. So if that shows you some importance about, you know, the length of Psalms and how important it is to take that time to worship and to pray. But then the longest chapter in the longest book is all about finding hope in his word and how important God's word is to each and every one of us. I like this. It says, I hope in thy word, in Christ the word, for acceptance and justification, for peace and pardon and eternal salvation, all which are in him. In the word of promise, for all supplies, I love this part, of grace, strength, light, life, and comfort here, and for glory hereafter contained therein. And another commentary says, hope in thy word, confidently rest on its teachings and promises. So these connections help us to see how now God is, as he breathed his breath of life into the scripture, into his word. And so when we read the Bible, it's like God breathing his breath of life into us. And there's something that happens when we're reading God's word and he begins to speak to us. And the Holy Spirit uses those words and the things that we're reading to change us and mold us and speak to us and to say things. And it seems almost counterintuitive, but when we wrestle with a brokenness that causes us not to even desire the Bible, guess what the solution is? The solution is to actually turn to the Bible. So here's a thought. In a world and times that seem hopeless, we need something to turn to that can be trusted and that will guide us, that something is the Bible and we have confidence in its teachings.
Exactly. So let me toss out another thought. Here it is. The Bible is our hope, our confidence that we can negotiate this world and life for all of time until Jesus calls us home. We can trust his word to lead us and to guide us. His word leads us and guides us, helps us to negotiate life itself. That can be so confusing sometimes. It's God's word. Now, John Piper is a guy I follow, and he wrote this. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord, 1 Samuel chapter 3:21. And then he says, well, three things, or he actually says the same thing. He repeats it three times. God is seen through Scripture. God is seen through Scripture. God is seen through Scripture. Here's the point. If you're going like, I don't know where God is, read the Bible. I can't find God. He feels so far away. Then we are to consume his word. He's in the Scripture. God is in his word. He has given us his Bible. He has given us the inspired word of God. We'll see that in just a moment. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, his word is our source of hope. God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're here, and I know that we gather like this week after week, and And some of us are new and love that. And some of us are coming in because like joy is not what would describe our experience right now. And his word just is like, joy is found in his word. Peace is found in his word. That's where our hope lies. It's in him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture, everybody say all.
All
scripture, even the ones we don't understand, right? Even the Old Testament, we get stuck there sometimes. I do. But all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, if we just stop and just kind of look at this scripture for just a moment, I think we probably, most of us will land somewhere in the same area. None of us like to be wrong, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
None of us like to be told we are wrong. When my mother was raising me and she said, you're wrong about that, I didn't go, oh, mama, dearest mother, I'm so grateful that you told me I was wrong. So, or my wife goes, no, you're wrong about that, you know. So like that being wrong, mostly humanly, we'll push back against that,
right?
So we're wrong. But the scripture teaches us when we're wrong that we need to correct this way. It corrects us. It teaches us what to do is right. Here's what's happening. Even though humanly we want to push away from that wrong that maybe God's Spirit is talking to us about, and sometimes it's during those quiet moments of the nighttime. And when God just reveals himself to us and he speaks to us, he begins to point out some area in our life where maybe we're going astray. It's wrong thinking, perhaps. It might have to do with somebody else. It might have to do with our own personal self, but he's trying to correct something. What he's saying to you and to me is like there's something that's between us, and I want to correct that. I want to have a closer relationship than you're allowing me to have, and there's something in the way. You've allowed your thinking to come in. You've allowed the voices of other people to come in, and it's pushing you away, and we're to embrace his word. That's why it says his word is living and it's active. And I can't tell you how many times I have read the same verse of the Bible over and over and over and over again. And then finally, in one moment, it just like takes on a brand new meaning. It's like it's exactly what I needed for that day. Even maybe that passage that I didn't understand, or maybe was felt like, I don't need that today. All of a sudden, I did need that today, and that's why it says all scripture is inspired. It's living, it's true, and it's active. It's inspired from me, and speaks to us about the need that we have. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires.
So simply put, we need help. We need help with this because there's a lot of voices in the world, and we need help deciphering what is from God and what is not. And sometimes we're actually trying to even decipher, it's our own voice that we're trying to decide, is this me or is this from God? And so it says it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And for this to happen, though, we have to engage in God's word on a regular daily basis. It doesn't say weekly, but daily basis. So when I engage in the Bible, I engage with God.
Yeah, exactly. So here's what I want to do as we kind of wrap up this morning. I just read this past week, and I think it's true that one of the concerns that a pastor will have is that his people are not in the Word, not reading. Here's what I believe, that if we are consumers of his Word, we will love like Jesus calls us to love. We are consumers of his word. Everybody is welcome. And we will embrace people and share the good news of the gospel. If we are consumers of his word and we're following Jesus, listen, nobody in our community goes hungry. Nobody is without because we're living out this life in such a way that he has called us to do. God's work speaks to our humanness, brings us into conformity to who he is. And so I want to help. I want to help you. Some of you, you know, you got a great devotional life and all that, and you just affirm what I'm about to say. For many of us, I want to lead us into a Bible reading plan. I want to encourage you. And again, look, I get stuck, and I got a whole list of things I'm going to ask God someday, like, what did you mean with that right there? Because I don't get it, you know. I'm there. Other times, you know, like Jesus speaks to us through we're all there. I want to help you get into a devotion. I'm going to give you three steps really, really, really quick, and they're not like, oh, wow, look at those three steps. Those are brand new. I never heard those. No, you probably have, but I want to help, okay? Number one, and I'm just praying that we all just do this. Choose the best time for you. It's so easy. It's so simple. But some of us are trying to be like somebody else. Now, for the best time for me, it's early in the morning. So I'm early riser.
It's really early. A little too early for me.
Yeah. Works for me because about 4 hours later, you're getting up. So anyway.
That's not untrue.
Kids, Pastor. Okay. So
I'm tired. What can I say?
So for me, the early time of the day works really, really well. You just have to choose what the best time for you is. The best time for you is not going to be the best time for me, and vice versa. But the early time, and what I have discovered is this: if I miss my morning time, and usually I have my reading done, devotional done, even before six, you know. So, and some of you get up earlier than that, but there's nothing super spiritual about that or anything like that. It just works for me. But if I don't do it in the morning, guess what happens? And I think, well, I'll just do that later today. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? It ain't going to happen. So I commit to that. Some of you, the early morning hours, they will never work. Far as you're concerned, Jesus isn't awake at that time of the morning, right? And so you don't even go there. But what works for you is later at night. And so maybe when you're in bed. And for me, if I try to do that thing, if I try to do my reading in bed at night, guess what? I'm out, man. It is not going to work. So choose the best. I want to encourage you to think. For some of you, it will be in the middle of the day, during your work day. You can step off for a few minutes, okay? All right, number two, here it is. Choose your medium. That is your Bible app, your tablet. I said, look, it doesn't matter if it's a Bible like this or it's a Bible like that, Bible like a tablet, Bible above your phone. It's God's Word. Consume God's Word. We got a letter one time that we were using the wrong Bible, and now I love the King James Version. So most of my memory work has been in the King James Version. It's very poetic, I think. But this letter informed us that the only authorized, inspired Word of God is King James, and not only that, it has to be a black leather bound Bible.
No, this was a true note.
This is true. So, like, okay, that's not true. Okay, so whatever
it is. I think this is brown, by the way.
That's brown. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, and then thirdly, have a plan, okay? Have a plan. We need a plan. And here's what I want to do. I want to invite you into a plan with me starting next Sunday for 21 days out of the book of John. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do. So I have a screenshot for you of our website. So you're going to go to gatewayfellowship.com, and I hope you do this. YouVersion limits the group size to 150, so I hope that we get there. But you're going to go to gatewayfellowship.com and just click here to join Tom on a 21 online Bible reading group. So we're just going to join together in a group. No one's going to, like, test you, or there'll be an opportunity to put your own comments and thoughts down there as we read through the 21-day devotional. But what you have to do is you have to click on this right here, and then you get that. And then way down at the bottom, there's accept the invitation to participate. So I'm just hoping that you do that. Go to gatewayfellowship.com. And for many of you, it will be the beginning of something brand new in your life. For some of you, you're just going to join, and you're going to add that to your Bible reading program. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's 21 days, the book of John. There is no better place to start reading the Bible than in the book of John. So click on that. Go down, accept invitation. It's going to be cool. You teach the same stuff to the kids.
Yeah, we do. We start all the way, we do birth through 11. And so you might go into one of our preschool classes and see, oh, they're doing a craft. And, like, you know, oh, they're singing a song. And they're playing a game. But really, we're working on the foundational building blocks in these kids' lives. So we're trying to assist and help you by having another voice that says, here's what truth is. And maybe what it looks like up in the nursery is huge theological concepts like God is creator, God loves you, you know, God made the animals. And then you move up into preschool and you start talking about concepts, more and more concepts as they get older that they can understand about who Jesus is. He's God's son and how he died for us and how he sacrificed and gave his life for us. And then we move up into elementary. And our goal in elementary is by the time they get out, they're understanding that it is their responsibility to feed themselves with the word of God. It's not their parents' faith. It's not Pastor Shelley's faith. It's not a leader's faith. That it's their faith that they need to walk in. So just as much as you're talking about how we need to be in the scripture daily, here's what I would say from a children's pastor's heart. Your kids need to be in God's word daily. And so if that looks like one of those story Bibles, you know, and they're in preschool, read the story Bible with them. And even let them, you know, point to the different animals because you want to get them involved in it somehow. And when they're up in elementary school, you can use a devotional book with them, read scripture with them. And so the second thing I would say is, pray with your kids as well. Prayer shouldn't be kind of a thing that's only done in church. Prayer should be done at home. And that doesn't mean that you're, you know, taking 20 minutes every day and this is their prayer time. If you do, that's fantastic. I think that's great. But it might look like this. Your kid has a test that day and before they leave for school, nope, we're not going out the door until we pray. We're just going to pray and we're going to ask God to help us in this moment. It's bringing God into every single one of those moments on a daily basis, being in his word and praying daily and talking about God. So, but then I understand, like, there's situations that come up in kids' lives and we want to point them to Jesus. So I have two different resources for you that you guys can refer to that have some helpful things for your family. And so one of them is on our site, or the website, the church website. But if you go to kids.gatewayfellowship.com, so kids.gatewayfellowship.com, there is a tab on there called resources. And we put a whole bunch of, there's 20-some different topics that might happen in your life where you need some spiritual guidance to help guide your kid through whatever you're going through. So death, if they experience a death from someone that they love, what are some helpful resources and articles that I can look at to help point them to Jesus and what does God say about it? And so that's a helpful resource with just a ton of topics. But then I also put out a parent resource list over here. And so this has things just from me that says, hey, here's some suggested Bibles to buy for them. Here's some devotional books that you can buy for them if they're in preschool or if they're in elementary. So these, the paper copies are located of this resource sheet just at the welcome desk as you exit. There's a limited supply for right now. However, we're going to be sending this out to all Gateway Kids families next week. And it has the hyperlink so you can just click on things. It has worship songs that we're listening to in kids' church. And so you can bring worship into your house. It has devotional books and lots of just fun stuff. Some of my favorites in here.
So. Look her up and she can help get you and guide you in helping your kids do the same. Here's the deal. Just start. And if you have 5 minutes, then start with 5 minutes. Maybe it's 10. Maybe it's just start. I remember as a young guy, I decided I'd make this commitment to read the Bible and pray for 1 hour every day. And I remember doing that for one day. And then it just didn't work out after that, you know. So a little different story now, but that's then. So, but that's okay. Don't get discouraged. Begin. You're going to miss some days.
Yeah.
Just start. And if it's just a few minutes, do that. I have shared before, and we're going to close, and I just got a couple things for you as you head out. I have shared before that Sunday mornings is sometimes one of my, in the mornings, kind of difficult day because I wake up, and I know the enemy's at work. I love Sundays. It's my most favorite day. And I know the enemy's at work, and I feel this cloud beginning to come over. And it's only when I get into my Bible reading, before I go through what we're talking about today, that begins to lift. That's the power of the Word. And I know some of us deal with those days. And those, you might call them gray days. You might be dealing with all kinds of stuff, and it's got you in this cloud. For me, it's only when I get into the Word that it begins to lift. That's the power of God's Word. Let's stand together, shall we? One other thing, and then we're going to pray. And I'm going to tell you what I'm teaching on next week because I want you to be here and bring somebody. But we give away Bibles, so we're so passionate about what we're talking about today that we give away free Bibles. I say we because we spend your money that you give, like in tithe and offerings. We buy Bibles to give away for free. We've never charged for them. And I think we're somewhere around, we're approaching 2,000 Bibles, I think, somewhere around there, of free Bibles, and they're in the lobby today. So if you're here, you don't have a Bible, you just go get one. You don't even have to ask. You just take it. It's just sitting out there. And if they tell you that they're all gone, they're not. Just tell them to look in the down below because there's more. But I checked there this morning, so don't let them do that to you. So get a free Bible. If you're a group leader and you have someone in your group, get a Bible. If you have someone you're talking to about, get a Bible. Give it to them. So that's how passionate we are about this thing. We need it. We need God's guidance. So next Sunday, talking about something that is so confusing to us at times, and it's this whole role of suffering. Like, we don't like suffering, but how does Jesus use suffering in our life? And it looks different for so many of us. So I'm talking about that next week, and just invite you to come and bring a friend, and we're just going to ask God just to speak to us about that. So, Father, I thank you for today. I just thank you for everyone here and for those online this morning. Thank you for your word that leads us and guides us in all of life. God, I would pray that you give us a passion. For some of us, it's just going to start with just a, maybe it's just a spark, I don't know. But God, give us a passion for your word. Give us an understanding through your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us to deal with those discouraging days and the enemy comes in. All the voices, Lord, lead us to your word, the place that we can go, the voice that we can trust. In Jesus' name, amen.